Okay.
How are you?
Good.
Baruch Hashem, I'm glad to hear it.
Yep. Me too.
I have a lot of static. Do you have a lot of static?
I was washing my face. So
okay.
I can tell my blood sugar is getting low.
Okay, Sean. I'm reading from the Zohar or Parasha of Be'ha'alotcha, which translates as when you light. I'm reading section 14. Everything that comes into the fire, you shall pass through the fire. Verse 76. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu konaneh aleinu maaseh yadeinu konanehu. V'chol tuma nida torah v'zav v'zava v'yoledet be'esha v'gvura ihu shoref v'nishmeta ihu mana dekutcha v'richu ואיהו לה שרי, ועד דאית לה בנת, ואשה דגבורה, דקטיב, הלא כל דברי, כאש, נאום השם, וחי אשה, עם ברזל, הוא מתפוצץ, ועם אבן, הוא נמוך, Every uncleanness, such as that of a woman in her menstrual flow, a leper, or a man or a woman who has a discharge, and a woman who gives birth, the fire of Gevurah consumes them. The soul is the vessel of the Holy One, blessed be He, and the Holy One, blessed be He, does not dwell in it until it is purged in the fire of Gevurah. As it is written, is not my word like a fire, says Hashem. In this fire, if the evil inclination is like iron, it explodes. If it is like stone, it melts. This is a really a beautiful metaphor, indicating that somebody who's controlled by his evil inclination, he's either a stone with no feelings and really not aware of anything, or he's a metal that can be manipulated. And in that fire, that he loses that manipulation ability. He loses being controlled because it explodes and disappears on him. It allows him to break out of that iron control. Verse 77. Uvi mina deta mantora shebikta vihi mayim betahara min kol vimeha vihitake ba mitzora vitame met bezav vitame bekol mine sheret I dicti vizerakti alechem mi mayim tehorim utartem vigomer. And of the right, the place of the written Torah, that is referred to as water. It says, and she shall be cleansed from the flow of her blood. So through her are cleansed a leper, one who is unclean through contact with a dead body, one who has a discharge, and one who is defiled through contact with any kind of insect. This is what is meant by, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. This is talking about a mikveh, or hinting at the idea of the mikveh, which when people were tamei, they needed to separate from the other people sometimes for a week, sometimes just until the end of the day. But they always had to go through a mikveh, a cleansing with water. Verse 78. In the central column, the vessel is united with her husband. The vessel, being a woman, is Malchut. After becoming sanctified in the left column and becoming cleansed in the ritual waters in the right column, she is united in the central column. It is said about Pesach utensils, such utensils that were used to serve cold things, one dips them ritually in cold water and they are cleansed. Since they are the souls that came from the site of mercy, and they are merciful, graceful, and kind, they do not require cleansing in lukewarm water, like those of average people. Most certainly they are not cleansed in the very hot waters through which the completely wicked purify themselves. Those who heat themselves in the fire of the evil inclination, about them it is written, everything that comes into the fire, you shall pass through the fire, since the filth on them is great. However, the completely righteous are cleansed with cold water, since it was said about them, whoever puts space between the ones that cleave together, meaning that he does not stick together while pronouncing the letters in the recital of the Shema, one to the other, the Gehinnom is cooled down for him. Now that is an amazing secret. If you pronounce all the letters in the Shema properly, there's actually 30 places in the Shema where the last letter of a word and the first letter of the next word are the same. And it's easy for you to skip over those sounds. But if you don't do that, if you pronounce every letter, this is telling you that you will have a sweetened time when you go to Gehinnom to cleanse all of those things that you do. Not just that you do, but that anybody does. All the negative things that we all do because we've injected selfishness when Adam made the sin. Verse 79. Ve'in ishmatin hamrim, de'inun kimane cheres, Shiviratan Zohi Taharatan Kada Amishparu Nitaru Birazad Mila Zivhe Elohim Ruach Nishbara Vigomer Aval Inun Dmishtadlin Beoraita Devikta Vuvoraita De Aape The Inun Esh Demayim The Inun Demishtadlin Biraze Beoraita De Ihu Or Dikti Ba The Torah Or Beoraita Inun Mitzdakin Ba. If the souls are materialistic, in that they are like clay utensils, their breakage is their purification. As it is said, if they are broken, they are cleansed. The secret of this is the sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit. However, as for those involved in studying the written Torah and the oral Torah, which are fire and water, and those who are striving after the secrets of the Torah, which is light, of which it is written, and Torah is light. They are purified through the Torah and do not need Gehinom. That's been written elsewhere in the Zohar, but it's always good to know. Because we are studying Zohar, we will not have to experience Gehinom. We may have to reincarnate, but we won't have to go through Gehinom to be cleansed. We'll just have to come back into this world where we can do more study and cleanse ourselves in that way. Verse 80. V'yod b'pere karoe haroe temarim b'chalom tamu avonotav ahidikti tam avonech Batzion begin dit marim, betam darga di Yaakov, di itmar be di Yaakov ishtam, hovin marim, viad marim, taman tam v'taman mar. Furthermore, we find in this chapter about seeing. One who sees dates, the Hebrew word is temarim. In his dream, it means his iniquities have ended. The Hebrew means of tamu, meaning he's become complete. This is what is written, the punishment of your iniquity is accomplished. O daughter of Zion, because temarim consists of the letters of tam, which is Jacob's level, about whom it is written, and Jacob was a tam man, a plain man. The sins are bitter, the Hebrew word is marim, and therefore dates contain the letters tam and mar. Therefore, that indicates that his sins are over, if he is seeing dates in his dream. His bitterness is complete. This is a wonderful message. We should hope that we receive dates in our dreams. That's the end of section 14. Do you have any questions?
Yes. So during the evening of Shavuos, the rabbi's wife gave a long talk about the lineage of King David. She had a chart showing the lineage and who was married to whom, all these kind of interesting things. But she made an offhand remark that when you die, all of the negative things you've done disappear or go away. And do you agree with her or not?
Do I agree with her? From what you say, no, but I didn't hear her, so I'm sure there's an misunderstanding of what she meant or what she actually said. There's no difference in spirituality. So negative things can disappear through the cleansing process, and death can be considered a cleansing. And for many things, that is the only cleansing that works. No other form of cleansing is sufficient to completely cleanse. You do teshuvah, you do other things, and then when you die, not that you die because of those things, but when you die, your death does atone for those things that couldn't be atoned for any other way. And yes, that is what the Zohar says, so it does make sense if that's what she was saying. Did I answer your question or confuse you more?
Okay. Well, then, I guess she was saying that.
I didn't hear what you said. She what?
I guess she was saying that then.
And if she was saying that, that's correct. Yeah, that's what the Zohar says. That there are certain actions, basically the three things that we try and deal with on Rosh Hashanah, murder, idol worship, and sexual improprieties. Those things can only be, the severe ones can only be cleansed through death. Now, you can mitigate the chaos from them in this lifetime by doing teshuvah, and you can mitigate the pain of your death through teshuvah. But really, what was your question, Jack? You just wanted my comment?
Well, I wanted to see if you agree with her.
She's a rabbi. What am I? You know, she's much more knowledgeable than I am.
Well, I don't know. I guess. I mean, you're pretty knowledgeable. I mean, was that said in earnest, or was that said as a joke?
I don't know the woman, so I have no way of evaluating it. Rabbis, in our generation, the Zohar says, the root of their soul comes from the era of Rav. And so frequently we see rabbis in our generation doing actions and recommending things to their parishioners that creates separation in the world. I don't know the woman, so I don't know if that is true. It takes a lot it takes a lot of study. What really the study is how to follow and produce a halakha in the physical world. What is the appropriate action for someone to do? A true rabbi is going to use their intuition in knowing where the person who's asking the question needs to be, and won't just come up with a rote response, like you cannot break Shabbat or you cannot turn on the mixer. you know, 99.9% of the time, you can't turn on the mixer and still remain in the full frame of Shabbat. But there may be a mitigating reason why it's not. Because every mitzvah that we are supposed to do, there is a time and a situation where we are not supposed to do it. And every mitzvah where we are supposed to not do it, there's a time and a situation where we are supposed to do it. And it is always relative to what's happening and the souls involved in the correction. And that's actually what my class is on tomorrow night.
Well, first of all, they call her Rebbetzin. Does that mean she's actually a rabbi?
Rebbetzin, no, means she's the wife of the rabbi.
Right. So I don't know if she's actually a rabbi.
Well, in the Chabad, they're very well trained, so I would think she's very close to it. She hasn't studied on how to create halakha, but she's very knowledgeable.
She is.
And what she's saying is accurate as far as it went. It's not complete in that there are other options.
Right, it was a very brief. Okay, that was not the main subject of this talk. It was mainly the subject was the lineage of King David. And it was a very brief off-the-cuff remark, not surrounded by the full implication. It was not the subject of the talk. It was just by the way, you know.
Right.
So it was just an oh, by the way. So I don't think we can. I mean, one could blame her for not giving the early, you know, what you need to do earlier and the exceptions and all that, but it was mostly it was just an off the cuff remark. But it was striking, because a lot of the talk was about very obscure issues of lineage, and why.
Well, there's only one issue for King David on lineage, and that's whether a Moabite can marry into children of Israel, and that's clearly defined as it can't. Except that it only applies to male.
That's the main focus. That was the main focus.
Understood.
That was exactly that. That was an hour of the hour and 5 minute lecture.
Yeah, understood.
Yeah. So that was it. So it was, you know, a little bit long in the tooth, but it was fine. It was fine. I learned one thing. And a lot of days you don't learn anything. So to that extent, it was interesting. But she did throw this out, and it was fairly striking. And I'm sure a whole talk could be given about it.
Correct.
Okay. Well.
Anyway, we'll meet again tomorrow, same place, same time.
Yeah. Okay. Take care.
See you soon. Have a beautiful day.